You're listening to Practically Christian Podcast, taking all that information you got all up in your brain and giving you real, practical application.
The funniest thing is, it says applause, but that kind of sounds like a riot.
I could hear applause if they're in, like, the Coliseum.
I mean, I could hear it, like, at the end, there's clapping.
Are you not entertained?
If you're listening to this in your car, do you clap while you're driving when you hear the intro? Like, when you hear it's about to come on? Are, like, you that excited?
You can answer that by going to...
Somewhere.
You can go somewhere.
Wherever you're in your car headed to.
You can go to mission_sent on on Instagram. Got a lot happening right now. On Instagram and message us there. That's actually where a lot of people message me.
Or you can head over to missionsent.org.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and check out the website. We have a lot happening there.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. So something that doesn't happen a lot. Happened to me as we were preparing this podcast.
Right.
Obviously, I have the hiccups.
What you were really excited about for weeks. Like, it wasn't like a just spur of the moment. You had been thinking about this for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. It's called the power of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there is something I hate in life, it is the power of positivity.
Not saying that you don't like positive things.
No, I am very much an optimist.
But the false hope that is perpetuated with everything's good, everything's wonderful, everything's fine all the time, everything's good, 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 good. It's not.
It's very damaging.
Oh, and, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm.
You know, anyway, so that's how I was starting this. And I was starting it through the lens of participation trophies.
Right.
As an athlete and as someone, now this is going to be like a mini thing. We'll do a longer podcast on this at some point, but this is kind of like a mini lesson I want people to just hear right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
As an athlete, as someone who has spent, you know, almost their entire life in competition,
right,
one of the things that drives you insane is when you sacrifice so much and everybody gets a ribbon or a medal or a trophy or
the same or all thing of that you're getting receives the same. Right.
And so I wanted to look at like the dangers of that and look at that and go, you know, we're setting people up for failure. But then I started doing research for the episode. And this is where the mini lesson comes in. And through the course of my research, I started changing the way I was viewing what I was looking at.
Which is always interesting because you were pretty staunch on what you were thinking.
And you should be. You should be firm in your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I started, you know, the preponderance of evidence started stacking up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am looking at this.
The wrong way.
I don't want to say wrong because there was a lot of my preconceived notions that that are true, that I still hold to. But there were other aspects of it that changed, and it really changed what this episode's going to be. And I say that as a small, simple lesson. Guys, we gotta be better at
being honest.
Not necessarily being honest, but letting the truth permeate what we think and what we believe.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where I am wrong and truth is correct and truth is not relevant.
Then you're wrong.
And there's another future episode.
That's a whole other. Right.
Then I need to change what I think.
Your be personal opinion.
Be renewed by the renewing of your mind.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
Right. Romans.
You know, change as information comes to
light.
So with that in mind, let's jump into today's episode. I was doing all this research on participation trophies, and there's this online trophy place that had a bunch of articles written, and they wanted to give pros and cons to passing out trophies, which honestly, it kind of threw me for a loop because you would think in a capitalistic society like we live in, you would not put any cons if you're trying to sell trophies.
Right.
But the pros were, you know, when everyone gets a trophy, there's positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. It teaches value. It elevates children's success, and it increases self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Some of that I agree with. Some of that I think is debatable. Are you still looking at it?
Yeah, I'm opening it right now.
Okay. So I'll just go through the cons then real quick. The cons are it kills competition. It promotes narcissism. Mm-hmm. It won't allow people to learn from their mistakes, and it misleads motivation.
Okay.
I would definitely line up more on the cons
right.
side of this argument.
See, and it's funny because in the classroom, when I was teaching first grade 1 year, I had trophies for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, it would eventually get a trophy, but they had to earn it. By doing,
see, in all of the articles, I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
Because all of the articles I read, mm-hmm. that was pretty much like the basis of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we look at it as participation trophies and, you know, but no one ever stopped to think like, were they at all the practices? Were,
right.
you know, were they at all the games? Did,
right.
they, did they give up just as much,
right.
you know, as far as their life goes
right.
as I did.
And like for me, I had kids that had struggles academically that their right. their goal may have been 10 of whatever we were doing
instead of 20,
where somebody may have been had 20.
Right.
But they still had to do something. It wasn't just you're here, so you get a trophy.
And honestly, when I started reading that in all these different articles,
mm-hmm.
that's really what stood out to me and went, oh, I am looking at this kind of wrong.
Okay.
You know, because when it comes to participation,
mm-hmm.
Were they participating?
Right.
You know, and if so, then yes, they earned that trophy.
They technically earned the participation
right.
trophy. They may not have earned the MVP or number one or right. top player. Not everybody needs to get that.
And so this led me into like just a ton of different
rabbit holes,
you know, articles, you know, and like. Penn State had put out an article that they had tested all these students and they gave them like a lot of praise
mm-hmm.
for being smart. And then they had two tests that they were going to choose from. There was mm-hmm. an easy one and a hard one.
Right.
And the students that had got all this praise for being smart, 67% of them
mm-hmm.
chose the easy test when it was time to choose the test. You know, so they could not pursue.
They want to be perceived.
So they could keep the status right. quo on, hey, I'm smart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they redid it, and this time they praised them for their effort, like, you know, and, right. and their ability to challenge themselves and stuff like that. 92% of them at that point picked the more challenging test.
Because I look at that, I hear that, and I go, I think of intrinsic motivation, like being intrinsically motivated.
Yeah.
Which, if you're being praised, my thoughts are getting, I know what I'm thinking. I'll get it all together.
And so this led me to a Psychology Today article that said kids who are praised for their effort rather than their ability tend to strive harder, enjoying activities more, and deal with failure in a more resilient way.
That's kind of where I was going to go.
So should we give our kids participation trophies? The article kept going.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, it depends.
Right. I think every situation is different. And you have to know, like when you think about a speaker, they have to know their audience. I think you have to know who your either players are or who your participants are.
Right. But all... And what you're saying is the same thing, like the article ended with, like, if it's an unexpected surprise
mm-hmm.
For someone's unwavering dedication and effort, absolutely, you should give them it.
Right, right.
Even
if they didn't win.
But if it's a meaningless gesture mm-hmm. and all they did was show up.
No.
Then maybe not, you know. And that led me into a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
We live in this culture where everyone, it seems,
mm-hmm.
everyone's child
mm-hmm.
is
a snowflake.
Well, yes, but mm-hmm. is a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of where the Power of Negativity podcast episode was going to go. This is where the problem comes in.
It's dangerous.
Because... a lot of us millennials mm-hmm. who did get these participation trophies, mm-hmm. we did grow up with this entitlement mm-hmm. going, well, I deserve.
Right.
And we feel that way because all we had to do was show up and we got something for showing up.
And then we all had kids. And it is now to the nth degree.
Yes. Because if I'm special, imagine
how my special, child that I created. Like two I go, special people had a baby. I'm saying two people who have constantly been told, and you're so amazing. You're and
that's
so
what
wonderful.
That's what I was going to say. So now you have special times special. So we have special squared.
And then as educators, I mean, we see the damage that it can do.
Right. And again,
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with praising your kids or
No.
Emphasize,
be a good parent.
Emphasize what they do well, focus on what they strive.
Bam.
You know,
there you go.
What they're striving in.
So I'm going to throw out some stats to you. Okay. Okay. According, and I looked this up sports wise, because again, originally the whole plan was to attack the participation trophies, which I later found out, oh, there actually is benefit in this. And I'm not saying in every blanket scenario, mm-hmm. we need to pass them out, but
right.
in keeping with that sports theme,
mm-hmm.
look at how Little League is treated now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's almost like, I mean, I seriously, I know kids in, you know, elementary school who have mm-hmm. private coaches.
Right.
You know, your parents are already paying like dues and, you know, fees and buying gear, and now they're paying for private coaches.
Right.
At 8, 9, 10, 11 years old.
So little Tommy can be number one.
So, according to the NCAA, about 2.9% of all high school football players mm-hmm. will go on to play, or I'm sorry, 7.3% will play at at the collegiate level.
Okay.
About 2.9% will actually play in a Division I school.
Oh, wow.
And then about 1.6% of college athletes
mm-hmm.
will go on to play a professional sport. So that equates to about 0.02.
Oh, wow.
0.02 high school students who will go on to play a professional sport.
And when I hear you, I'm thinking about you saying like they have these coaches. And again, there's nothing wrong with helping your kid be better in what they're already good at.
But you hit the nail right on the head.
But when you're doing it, I mean, I've seen kids like throwing up, sick to their stomach, knowing, oh, I gotta go to this game and my mom has this coach.
Or the FSA test is today. You know, any kind of standardized testing.
Well, anxiety, depression, and stress in ages 3 and up has gone up 37% at the bare minimum a three-year-old, why is a three-year-old anxious and stressed out?
Right.
Because they have to do kindergarten.
Why is a kindergartner taking a test?
Right. A 45-minute, two-hour test.
Right.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Seriously, why are we not eating the edible paste
right.
and taking
sticking
nap
their
time?
Fingers in their nose, playing in the mud, and then, like you said, taking a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did we shift away from this? Why do we, and here's what this episode really, with all of the stats and everything
mm-hmm.
went into, why do we sit here and go, as the human race, as Americans, there is one mold for all of us to fit into?
Right. Because we say everyone's a unique snowflake and different and special in their own way, but right. then we go, everyone needs to look like this and everyone needs to do this.
And heck, everyone has to learn like this, and everyone
going
has
back
to
standardized testing. Everyone's different, you know. Differentiate, scaffold all the good stuff.
Oh, you do that while you're teaching. We don't do that with.
But
testing,
then when you test them, you test them all the same.
Yeah.
And then you completely just beat down their morale and their confidence, and mm-hmm. it's like this psychotic cycle that's perpetuated to like keep these kids in this whirlwind, and then they go home, and parents are on them. I mean, I can't tell you how many parents I've talked to that said, I feel so bad over these last few years. I have pounded into my kid's head how important their test is.
Yeah.
And as teachers, we're on the opposite end going.
No. As teachers, we're on the same side.
No. I'm talking about with our kids.
With our kids, yes. But as teachers,
mm-hmm.
you have all that pressure and stress.
Oh, yeah.
Because how your students perform.
Is how you're going to be judged.
Viewed as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
On one test, one time.
Right. And we won't stay here. That's a different topic.
But again, it shows we preach diversity in everything we do, right? You cannot see a TV show mm-hmm. anymore that doesn't have a diverse, you know, cast of people.
Right.
Commercials, like governments, like schools, right. like everything we do, we preach diversity. We preach how important being diverse is mm-hmm. and how everybody has strengths and weaknesses and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But really,
we don't really believe that.
Homogeny.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
Homogeny.
Okay. Homogeny sounds better because it rhymes with mahogany.
And you like the word mahogany.
This
is why you're not an English teacher.
Mahogany chest.
Okay, that sounded really, really weird.
Think about it. Like, there was a TED Talk from years and years and years ago.
Sir Ken Robinson.
Thank you for his name.
Yep.
Like, I can see his face. I can hear the talk.
Yes.
And his whole thing was, does public schools kill creativity?
Yes.
Because, again, here we are going, okay, everyone's got to learn this. Like, I go, what, how many times in your, I'm a math teacher.
Okay? I'm not.
I enjoy math. Mm-hmm. Math makes sense to me. Like, I like math.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, when students used to go, when are we ever going to use this? Especially when you're getting up into like calculus and trigonometry and, you know, even geometry.
Never.
Mm. And I would tell them flat out, you won't. Like, unless you're going to be a certain profession.
Right.
You're going to go be an engineer or an architect or, you know, an astronaut, maybe.
Right.
You're never going to use this.
Maybe a pharmacist, whatever.
You know, but mm-hmm. you're still required to know it. We still have to teach it. You still are going to have to take a test showing that you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one mold that you have to fit into.
Sorry, that was me.
And I go, why?
Right. I don't know what's that. It's just the wire.
Why? Why is there only one mold? Do you realize, like in Genesis, okay, practically Christian, I know everyone out there is like, I don't understand how this deals with Jesus. Here's how. In Genesis 1, we find out that we are made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. Who is God?
Right.
He is a creator, the most creative being that will ever be. Like, was just chilling in eternity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and spoke into the darkness and said, let there be light. And there was light.
And then there was light.
Now, understand, he had to sit there and go, this is what light is.
Mm-hmm.
This is what light means. This is what light does. And we're made in that same image.
Right.
In fact, the creation mandate found in Genesis 1:27, maybe?
That sounds right.
I don't know. I know it's in Genesis 1 and 2.
Don't get stuck on it.
Be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
What God told Adam and Eve, the first command, is go out there and make out there yours.
Right.
Create. Be fruitful. And I go, but yet we sit here and go, no, 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 no. It has to look like this.
Mm-hmm.
I go, think about it. Like, you're listening to this on an invention. We're recording this because someone at some point in history, I don't know who invented the microphone.
I don't know.
Or the computer.
I don't know.
Or the soundboard.
I don't know.
Or the iPad. Steve Jobs. I know Steve Jobs did some of them.
Right.
But I go, think about it. Like, the only reason you're hearing us talk right now is because someone at some point went, we need this. And it didn't exist. So we had to create it.
We had to create it, right.
See, I go like, we sit here and we go, oh, you got to go play football. You got to go play baseball. You got to go, well, whatever. But if you look at the stats, the chances of you being that 0.02%,
mm-hmm. it's pretty slim.
The chances of you being, even going back to playing in college, are 7.3%.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's slim.
And I'm not saying, hey, your child may be part of that 7.3%.
And that's a good thing.
My child may be part of that 7.3%.
But they may not.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yes.
Because, I mean, and I think you had it here, but, you know, scripture does tell us in Psalm 139, we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
And that you were woven together.
Woven together by the Creator.
Yes.
And you think he's going to make a bunch of robots that are just all the same?
And even
what a waste would that be?
Absolutely. I mean, and I go, like, even if we go through like 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul is talking about we are all one body.
Mm-hmm.
We're one body.
Made of different parts.
Yes. And a hand cannot tell a foot, I am better than you.
Right.
Because they do different things.
Right. They do it well. They do that thing well.
My hands will never walk like my feet do.
Never. No.
Mm-hmm. My heart will never filter my blood the way my kidneys and liver do.
Right. What are you doing?
Almost went to a different illustration that wasn't appropriate.
Just keep going.
Your mouth and your rectum do very different things.
Wow.
One brings in, one pushes out.
That is fantastic.
But you need both of them.
You do need both of them. They're different. They're used for different things.
So in all of this research, then I found myself on this other website looking. It was PBS.org,
mm-hmm.
And they were writing about only 8% of undergraduates are enrolled in a certificate program, which lead to be vocationally oriented.
Okay.
They were talking about in the next 5 years,
mm-hmm.
electricians are going to be able to charge up to $500 an hour. Because we don't have enough electricians coming out into the workforce.
Because we lie. We've lied to so many kids going, you have to do this. It has to look like this. You have to have your, excuse me, your MBA. You have to have your undergrad in whatever.
Yeah.
And then they get out of school and they go, I have no idea what to do with this.
Senator Marco Rubio mm-hmm. is quoted as saying, welders make more than philosophers.
Mm, it's true.
It is.
Yeah.
I know guys who never went to college,
mm-hmm.
went into a career, and are making way more money than I am.
I went to,
and they don't have to pay back any student loans.
I went to school with a kid who had a scholarship to play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he took over his dad's. It was an outdoor. It was like either landscaping or something. The first couple of years after he graduated high school, he was making $150,000 a year.
Right.
At like a 19, 20 year old. Never went to college.
Yeah.
Didn't like school. But he did what he was good at and has made a great living off of it.
And that is like the whole crutch of this. That's why we
I'm
went
so
away.
Sorry.
Do you want some water?
No, I'm good.
Our listeners don't want to listen to that.
I do apologize.
We went away from like again, we preach you're unique, you're special, no one else is like you, but we really don't believe that.
Right.
Because if we did, wouldn't things look a lot different?
I know for me, like, yeah, as a teacher, special education, I've gone into classrooms, I've talked to teachers, administrators, and they go that, you know, we're doing X, Y, Z. And I've come up.
And you're sitting here going, you need to be doing H, I, J.
Yes, but that's not what I was going to say. But I've come up to them in different places and been like, I've asked why are we doing it like this?
Right.
Oh, well, that's just how we do it. But why? It's not working. Again, it's trying to make kids fit into a mold that, and they end up growing up being teenagers and then adults that are trying to fit into this mold.
Yes.
And then you don't know who you are. You're not comfortable in your own skin. You're always trying to get away from yourself. And then you find yourself 50 years old going, what the hell? Like, this is not how I thought my life was going to be going. You said the word rectum. What is the deal?
We're going to have to click that this contains explicit lyric box.
I do apologize.
Rectum is a medical term.
I don't care. You said it.
Rectum.
you almost can't say it. I almost said it. Anyway, continue.
But I go, see, and that is in part the beauty of this,
right.
And the curse of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because on one hand, understand that, like, there could be a person already born on this planet
mm-hmm.
that may invent the next, like, level 6G.
I think that's a thing.
Is it? No, 5G.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know, there could be a kid walking around somewhere right now that has the cure for cancer locked away in their brain somewhere.
I think that exists.
And you're going to sit here. Big farm. And you're gonna sit here and just like
try to squash their creativity and their ideas by going, you have to do it like this, little Johnny, you have to do it like this because the book said you had to, and my administrator said you had to, and the district said I had to, and the state said you had to. And little Johnny's like, but I have so many things in my brain that want to come out. And because that's just how God created them.
And although I agree with everything you just said 100%, but I'm going even further than education.
Right.
Like, think about it. Why do we work a 40-hour work week?
Because we're told you work 40 hours a week. You have 2 days a week off. You go to church on Sundays. Saturday nights, if you're part of our...
Mission Sent. 600 Fort Smith Boulevard.
600 Fort Smith Boulevard.
Deltona, Florida.
Yep.
We are renting from a different church for the time being. So if you pull up and you're like, this is a Spanish church.
Iglesia Nazareno. That's not right. Anyway, you cut me off and I lost my thought.
No, you go to church on Sunday.
You work for 30 years. You retire.
Yeah.
And then you can live your life.
Yeah. And hopefully
you
at
have
that
to
point,
wait.
And hopefully at that point you can.
Right. You have to wait to live your life. How many people within 6 months to a year of retiring are gone?
I don't know.
A lot. You should look at the statistics. You keep talking, I'll look at the statistics.
But I go, again, when we look at this from a Christian worldview, I'm not against education. I think education is a very, very vital thing.
Right. And the more educated you are, the less likely so many things are going to happen.
But as we look at this from a Christian worldview, I go, we were created for more. Like, we were created for more than that. We were created for more than just being, you know, there was a blog post we put up on missionsent.org a couple of weeks ago called The Circular Path of Stupidity.
Yes.
You know, where every day is really just the same day over and over and over. Like, we live in Groundhog Day. Okay. The vast majority of us do.
I'm going to cut you off real quick. Typically, your average person
in America
will live possibly up to 19 years after they retire. So you've worked for
kinda
all...
But if you think about it, it kind of throws your...
It does throw my thing off.
But again, okay, you're living... Okay, let's say you retired at 65, though. And you're living for 19 years, so we're talking about 84.
Oh, the earlier you retire, the more likely you are, after you've had your standard life of working 40 hours a week, the earlier you retire, the more likely you are to die earlier. I don't know why. So if you retire
because
at 55...
Because work is not a bad thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, understand, we're created to work. We're creative to be creative in our work.
Well, and God created work before.
And we are creative.
Right, it wasn't a punishment.
Right, no. It came, go back and read Genesis 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Work came in Genesis 1.
Right.
Sin came in Genesis 3. Work is not a bad thing. But we're, there's a reason why some of us are miserable at our jobs. Because you're not doing what you were created to be doing.
What God placed that passion inside of you to do.
You fell into something.
Mm-hmm.
And you went, okay, I've been here X amount of years. I can't leave now because retirement's right around the corner. Or whatever the case may be. I make good money. Whatever the case may be. I'm afraid. Whatever.
I mean, there are people literally sick to their stomachs, chest pain, going to the hospital. But they're like, man, I got 5 more years.
Yeah.
I got to grit my teeth and white knuckle it. And I'm going, you're going to be dead before you get there.
But I go, the main point, like I said, all this research just led back to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
We're not always made to just fit into the same box.
Right.
Some of us out here are dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us out here are builders.
Right.
Some of us out here are philosophers. Some of us out here, like, are caretakers. There are so many different things.
Almost
some
like
of us are creators.
When I was an at-home mom.
All of us are creators.
When I was an at-home mom, how many people ignorantly said, oh, I bet you can't wait to get back to, you know, doing something. as if being home with my kids wasn't what I was created for at that moment.
Right.
And I know that happens a lot even now. You know, stay-at-home moms are, you're not doing anything. You're just home all day playing with your kids. My goodness. You're just home all day playing with your kids. When I go that, for me, that was the most rewarding time of my life.
I get it.
And most important time being home with the kids. But society was like, oh, got to be a career woman, you know, back to school and back to work. And
can't have a man taking care of you. That's crazy.
I can't even tell you how many people said that. That's a whole other episode.
But that's what anyway. I'm saying. I go, it just, I don't know. It just doesn't compute and make sense in my brain.
And we're working really hard to make things look different for our life.
And for our kids.
And for our kids, and, you know, and it'll impact them, our grandkids.
We've told them over and over. Hey, if what you want to do, you have to go to college for. Like, you want to go be a doctor, you want to go be an engineer.
Don't
you,
do surgery on someone until you've gone to school for it.
Absolutely, go to school, get the degrees you need to go do what you want to do. Hey, you want to work with your hands? I worked with my hands most of my life. And
absolutely. You made good money.
I made great money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's physically more challenging.
Sure.
But I will tell you right now, it is 10 times as
less
easy
stressful
to be out working with my hands than dealing with everything you deal with as a teacher.
Yep.
I'll say it like that.
Yeah.
But the challenge this week, stop doing things you are not made to do. Mm-hmm. Be you. Be unique. You were designed to do things that only you can do.
You're right. You're designed with the purpose.
Stop trying to be like Mike and really know your lane. Find role models that are in your lane and do what you were created to do. Mm-hmm. So until next week, we love you, we thank you, and we can't do this without you.
Thank you, guys.